Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
As I was praying this week, the Lord took me back to the beginning. We're going to be reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 7. And we're going to read the first seven verses in that chapter. The title of my message is Come into the Ark. Genesis should not be hard to find in the Bible. Amen. Add a blessing unto thy word this morning, Lord. Starting at verse number 1, and the word of the Lord says, Then the Lord said to Noah, Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two of each animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds in the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Amen. You may take your seats this morning in the presence of the living God. Saints of God, 2023 draws near to the end. Oftentimes, we may feel like we need to look back and start reflecting. We start to reflect on some important accomplishments that we've had this year. Some of us might reflect on some terrible failures. Some of us have experienced wonderful victories, and some others have experienced significant losses. We may examine our growth, our maturity, and others may examine the lack thereof. It's time. And it's okay for us to reflect on all that has taken place this past year. It is normal. It is necessary to know where you have come from and how far you've gotten. 2023 is almost gone. I can tell you now that it's never going to return ever again. It's almost gone. For some of you, this may be a very pleasant thought that you would be done with 2023. I remember in my life there have been years that have been agonizing years, and I couldn't wait for the year to be over. And I remember when I saw the ball drop on TV, Dick Clark's New Year's thing, and I would say, good riddance to you, 19, whatever. Good riddance to you, 2000 and whatever. And so, and you know, you'd start yelling at the TV because of the horrendous year that you might have gone through. I remember those times. Glory to God. In less than 12 hours, people of God, we're going to be entering into 2024. How many are looking forward to what God has in store in 2024? How many want more in 2024? Glory to God. I'm looking forward and I'm looking upward because I know that this could be the very year that Jesus returns in the clouds of glory. 2024 is approaching. The clock is ticking, And every year there's typically a theme for the year. And God has already released that theme to us. Praise God. And that means this year we're going through the door in 2024. Amen. God is about to open up doors in your life that you might have thought impossible. Doors that you thought would never open are about to be opened unto the people of God. Hallelujah. That's something to get excited about. Praise God. The doors that you thought you couldn't walk through are about to be pushed open. Amen. By the Spirit of God. And you're going to walk through with your head held up high with no shame in the game. The doors that no one else can open is about to be open for the people of God. And when the doors open, guess what, saints of God? You need to be ready to walk through the door. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's definitely talking to you. Praise God. You need to be ready to walk through the door. Praise God. Because a lot of people are not going to be ready. A lot of people are not walking through the doors. A lot of people are not going to have doors opened in their life. But God's people are going to receive the Goshen experience. Amen. I'm not going to be able to talk much about it this morning, but I am going to do a whole message on the blessings of Goshen. God's people are going to have a Goshen experience. That means blessing. That means favor. That means plenty. We're going to be in the land of plenty, not in the land of Lodabar. Some of you might have been in Lodabar in 2023, but 2024 is the land of blessing, the land of covenant, the land of plenty, the land of favor. And that means while everything else around you may seem like it's imploding, like it's collapsing, like all hell is broken loose, the people of God are going to experience Goshen in the midst of a dry and barren wasteland. The same way where there was famine in Egypt and God raised up Joseph to put everything in place. And while everybody was suffering, there was food and there was provisions. God can sustain us even in the midst of calamity. And he's about to do that. The Goshen experience is coming for the people of God. And let me just tell you, we've already experienced some of it. How many remember COVID when the Rona came in, trying to come in like a king in a city, try to run in? And literally, COVID came in, if you remember, during the triumphant entry Sunday. Do you remember? And the word corona in Spanish means crown. And that disease tried to come into the world and claim itself the new king on the land. It was saying, here I am, I'm coming in, there's a new sheriff in town. And there are churches to this day that are closed because of COVID. Infiltration, pestilence, whatever happened to Psalm 91? Where no plague shall befall me, no pestilence shall come near my dwelling. Let me tell you how silly this whole corona thing is. Not to go too far into it, because I'm going to have people ready to throw rocks at me. And every, you know, you start talking about the Rona, people get upset. This was a disease that you had to stick a Q-tip so far up your nose that it went to your brain just to see if you had it. And people actually were terrified. Terrified of the Rona. Well, you know, I got tested one time and I did my research. And if you remember, some of you were here back then, they dipped all those Q-tips with EO. If you looked at it, it says sterile EO. You know what that means? Ethylene oxide. And these were tips. Ethylene oxide, if you go to cancer.org, ethylene oxide is the highest carcinogen known to human beings. And they sprayed those little Q-tips with this chemical. And people, if you weren't sick of the Rona, you were getting sick from ethylene oxide. They were trying to kill us. And there was a deceiving, deceitful, wicked, divisive plan. So many people have lost family members and like police officers, first responders. They had to get swabbed every single week, and they were putting these things in their nose. And some people would get lymphomas and cancers and all kinds of other stuff. I'm telling you this because during that time of COVID, we were blessed. I remember we had a food pantry. We had three freezers full of food. We used to tell people, please come, take food, bring groceries. How many remember? We used to say, please bring your grocery bags to church. After church, we need to unload these freezers because next week we're getting another load. We don't have no room. The Bible says that he will outpour so much blessing that you won't have room to store it. And when people were going to the supermarkets and they were rationed, you could only buy one pack of chicken legs. You could only buy one steak. You could only buy one box of Wheaties. You know, when they were being rationed, we were saying, come, we'll hook you up. Bring bags, bring several bags. Go home with plenty. And we were giving people frozen meat free of charge. It was plenty. We understand the Goshen experience. We understand the blessing and the favor of God.
One, two, three.
F1. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is not because Soul Purpose is special. This is not because we have forecasted and we did things right. No, it's because God's favor is on his people. It's because God is the protector, the provider, the sustainer of his people. And it is available to all who receive the lordship and submit to the lordship of God. Goshen means that we're going to be drawing near to the place of comfort, drawing near to the land of plenty. This year, praise God, people are going to experience clear vision for the saints of God. That means those that we're not able to see are about to see. Praise God. God is going to start revealing himself in a new way to the people of God. Why? Because we've come to the place where we understand we have to abide in his presence. We've got to spend time. This year, God will turn your fears into faith. God's going to turn your worry into worship. God's going to turn your terror into trust. God's going to heal you of your hang-ups and turn them into hope. God's going to take all your anguish and turn it into adoration. Praise God. God's going to take your depression and turn it into devotion. God's going to take your anxiety and turn them into hallelujah, hallelujah. God's going to take the pouting, the frown, and turn it upside down. He's going to take your pouting and turn it into praise. The negative Nellies, hallelujah. All the negativity in your life is going to be turned into newness. Glory to God. Those who are weary are going to become warriors. Those who are defenseless are going to become defenders. Those who are timid and shy are going to rise up and become true and sure. And I love this one. Perpetual infancy will be sparked into prayerful intimacy. Hallelujah. That's what God is doing. He's been doing it in our life. He's been doing it in the lives of many that are in this room right now. But I've got to ask you this challenging question. What do you see for yourself in 2024? What are you envisioning? What doors are you prepared to walk through? What should you be looking forward to? What things do God have in store for you and your household? Hallelujah. How about this? What does he have in store for your children? What does he have in store for your job, for your career, for your home, for your finances? How about this? For your health and well-being. Maybe this is the year that all the pills get thrown in the toilet. It can happen. I've seen it in my own life. Praise God. This is the time where diseases are cured, where there's healing, where the mental illness is repaired with the love of Jesus Christ, blood brought by the washing of the water of the word, a renewed mind in the spirit of the Lord. God is about to blow your mind this year, but it's time, saints of God, to look forward and to look upward. Hallelujah. If many of you that are here this morning, you've come here, it's because you're ready. Many of you are ready to walk through that door. But let's keep it real. Amen. There's a lot of people, probably close to 1 million people right now, taking trains, buses, cabs, and they're lining up in the street to stand in the cold and the rain, whatever may come, even if it's snowing. Listen how sick and twisted this is. There are adults right now wearing diapers. You know why? so that they could not lose their place in the line. Because once you get in beyond the little police barricades, you can't leave because they won't let you back in. So once you're in, you're standing there until 12 a.m. And think of this. What sense does it make to start the year by dropping the ball? I mean, think about the lunacy of this. Only in New York, it's a legacy of fools. We have millions of people, and there's some that say, oh my God, I've never done that. I need to do that once in my life. This is a bucket list. I need to stand in Times Square with a diaper so I could release myself and not lose my place in line. Oh joy, oh the joy. And I'll take a couple of bottles of spirits, false spirits, little flask, and keep it in my pocket. So if I get cold, I'll just warm myself up. I'm spending my New Year's in the presence of God. I've got my family here. We've got some food cooking. Hallelujah. We're going to have a good old time. We're going to praise God and worship God into the new year. I'm going to be with my wife and my children. I'm going to love the Lord, and I'm going to enjoy every minute of my day. But I'm surely not going to start the year by dropping the ball. Hallelujah. Many will, and they need Jesus. We need to pray for them. Hallelujah. Amen. But let me go to this morning's very topic, where the call of God came out and said, come into the ark, you and your entire household. How many know that God has been calling man unto himself right from the very beginning, where he looked at Adam and Eve when they dropped the ball? Hallelujah. And they literally dropped the ball. And he says, Adam, wherefore art thou? If. Get it together, if. Hallelujah, I'm trying to get your attention. You see, when God calls man, it's not that he doesn't know where man is. God is calling because he knows exactly where they are. He's calling expecting man to say, here I am, Lord. But Adam hid himself. We know the story. God is always calling people to himself. His calling is found throughout all scripture. And let me tell you, when God calls you, especially if he asks you a question, you better keep it real. Praise God. It's just like police officers. You know, when they interrogate someone, they already know the truth. They already have the goods. When they're interrogating you and they're asking you a question, they're not asking you a question so that you could make up a story. They're asking you a question to see if you're going to tell the truth. So often, we try to play that game with Father in heaven. We try to play the game. When God is calling you, every time he calls, it's a call of love. The Bible says he wishes that no one shall perish, but that everyone shall come to everlasting life. But let's make an important distinction, because this has to be said. This is one of the most disturbing things that happens every single week in almost every church in the country. People make invitations to come to Jesus. Invitations are not biblical. I'm going to let that one sit right there. God doesn't invite people to repentance. God commands to repentance. And so often, we humans, we try to soften the word. There's so many churches trying to soften the word to make people feel comfy. And this is why so many people reject the gospel. So many people turn aside from the real truth because there's no pressure. There's no harm to consider. They're not afraid of the fires of hell because no one ever talks about it. No one ever talks about repenting and living right and honoring your husband, honoring God, honoring your wife, you know, honoring your children, living a righteous life. No one talks about these things. Returning back to order. It's one of those things that's not discussed. Everything is live your best life now. Here's 7 steps to be happy. Here's how to increase your financial portfolio. And this is how you can start your own business. You know, who cares? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole entire world and forfeits his soul? I'm here to tell you the truth. Praise God. Invitations are not biblical. Listen, you know Billy Graham. Many know the great evangelist Billy Graham, and this is a great example. Billy Graham, if you look at any one of his evangelical crusades, he never once said, I'm going to invite you now to come to the altar and receive Christ. Never. You'll never hear those words out of his mouth, because he understood the word. And this is what Billy Graham would always say. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to come out of your seat and come to the altar and lay your life down before the living God. He would say, come out of your seat and receive. He never said, I'm going to hope and I wish, I think it'll be a good idea. You probably would be making a good decision. He never did that. He said, I'm going to ask you to come out of your seat. That means it's a command. Amen. There's a command to repentance. Why? Because sugar-coated preaching is dangerous to your soul. A lot of people want sugar, and they'll go to a church seeking out the sugar message, the message that will tickle their ears. We've got churches all over, even in our own county. You could get sugar-coated preaching everywhere today. It's everywhere. But the churches that are non-compromising, the churches that are hitting it, hallelujah, the way it's supposed to be delivered, those are the ones that oftentimes people are always got something to say. Glory to God. Let me give you the word. Acts 17:30-31. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. Who is that man? Jesus. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him, Jesus, from the dead. Praise God. Somebody say Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. God knows the beginning from the end. Your days are numbered. Your days have been written. Every word you've spoken is being documented. Everything you say and do, God knew it right from the very beginning. He is omniscient, and that's why he calls us to save us. From what, you might say? From impending doom. There's a doom that is befalling the entire planet, and people are walking around to and fro without a care in the world right now. There's so much going on. Even now, listen, you know what I saw? Cocoa melon. How many have little children? No, I'm telling you, sis, it's true. Cocoa melon. Cocoa melon. You might be saying, what are you talking? What's cocoa? Cocoa melon is a YouTube channel designed with little nursery rhyme songs. My grandkids loved them. They knew all the song. This is how we wash our hands, wash our hands. I mean, nursery rhymes. Well, now they have two gay couple, a husband and a husband. And just to be inclusive, one is black, one is white. And they have a little boy, and they're saying, you can be yourself. You can be yourself. It's good to be you. Be yourself. And the little kid goes into the closet. Listen how symbolic this is. He goes into the closet and puts on a girl dress, a little tutu, and now he comes out of the closet, and he's twirling around his little tutu, and his two homosexual parents are going, yay, little Bobby, you can be yourself, little Bobby. They're indoctrinating our children, and the parents are not even paying attention. Listen, you've got to monitor what your kids are watching. You got to monitor the video games. You got to monitor the music, monitor everything, because now it's everywhere. I'm seeing commercials. I don't even know why there's pharmaceutical commercials, because you can't go and prescribe yourself a pharmaceutical. Have you ever thought about that? Why do we get inundated with these commercials? The doctor has to prescribe it. You can't go up and say, oh, yeah, I would like, Ninova, whatever. I don't know these crazy names. I would like to get that. No, I'm sorry. You got to go to your doctor and get a prescription. And most of them are like, oh, this is going to take care of that little headache. Side effects are nausea, vomiting, death, diarrhea, and it can produce hallucinations. And like, who in their right mind would want to take the thoughts of suicide and the depression and anxiety? And who would want to take this stuff? God was about to destroy everything on earth. And he called out to Noah. Not only Noah, but Noah and his entire family. He said, come into the ark, you and all your household. This is so important, and I don't want you to miss this. Genesis 6:9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. I want you to say this out loud. If you walk with God, you are perfect in your generation. Glory to God. The problem is many are not walking with God, and they find themselves in all kinds of craziness. When you walk with God, there's blessing, there's favor, there's safety, there's deliverance, there's healing, there's salvation. But check this out, it gets better. It's not only for you, but it's for your wife. It's for your entire household. That means the blessing flows like the oil that was poured on Aaron's head, and it went down to his beard, then it went down to his garment, and went all the way down to the very soles of his feet. The anointing covers the whole household. It's for you and your house when you walk with God. Noah was a perfect man, not because he was sinless, but because he didn't entangle himself with the ways, the customs, with the agenda of the world. Nor did he mix blood with the world. There was no blood type. He wasn't regenerated with the world. He walked with God. Hallelujah. I want to say something here. This is going to be mind-blowing. Noah was perfect in his generation, but it didn't say his wife was perfect. It didn't say his sons were perfect. In fact, his sons were imperfect because they took upon themselves Canaanite women. That's why there were giants before the flood, and that's why there were giants after the flood, because the seed was still in the lineage. And that's why David had to kill Goliath, and Abraham and Joshua had to fight giants in the land. But God took imperfect people and saved the whole house because of his love for Noah, because he walked upright. He walked with God. God's call to his people today is he wants to have you survive the impending flood that is, like for Noah's time, it was a flood, but for our day, there's going to be some calamity coming, praise God. A flood of great proportions, a time of crisis like we've never experienced on earth. And he's calling you to come into the ark. Listen to this in Genesis 6, what he had said to Noah, verses 5 through 8. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But listen to this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That means even in a time of worldwide absolute destruction, the grace of God is still found among his people. Amen. In Noah's time, the entire world had fallen so greatly. The Bible says they awoke each day intent on doing evil. There are people in our day now, they get up looking to cause anarchy. There are groups that wear black and they cover their faces and they're throwing Molotov cocktails into buildings, burning buildings down. They're jumping on police cars. They're breaking, destroying property. They wake up and they do lawlessness every single day. Their mission, their goal in life is to destroy others and their property. We're in an evil time. We're seeing kids now that are sucker punching people on the street. Boom, knocking them out. initiating themselves to get into gangs and all kinds of perverseness. There are people looking in the morning, they wake up and say, who could I steal from today? Sometimes there are kids, young men and women, adolescent kids in your own house looking to steal from you. But I got a cure, leather belt cure for that. Hallelujah. My wife will say, beat him, beat him, beat him. Open up a can, honey, open up a can. You know why this is true? Because so many parents are afraid to discipline their kids. They don't talk to them about Jesus. And they say, oh, well, I'm just going to raise my son and my daughter to make their own decision. Well, what do you think is going to happen if you never take them to church? You never talk about Jesus. You never implant the word of God in their life. You never lead by example. What do you think? They're going to get older one day and say, I think I need Jesus Christ. There are so many looking to hurt others, to destroy, to rape, to sodomize, to kill every day. And they do it as sport. The Bible says in Noah's days, they were corrupt in all of their moral decisions. They were violent in their dealings with each other. It's much like today. We're in the days of Noah. Matthew 24, 37. It says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Brother AJ was just up here momentarily ago saying the same things. Brother Allen was reading the scripture this morning. How many know that judgment follows wickedness? God is not asleep at the wheel. God sees everything. My daughter, she gave me this for Christmas, a little trinket. She said, Dad, I thought this would be perfect for you. And I have that in my kitchen. It's a little thing. I saw that. But the reality is Jesus sees everything. We think we're hiding stuff from the Lord, but Jesus sees it. He's not asleep at the wheel. Nothing we do is ever done in secret. One day we're going to have to give account. Destruction is already determined against the wicked. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation that is doomed for destruction, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Grace was offered to a man, to a family that was facing judgment. His entire household. Let me tell you, USA is facing judgment. USA is facing destruction. There's so much evil going on behind closed doors. Exposure cometh in the name of Jesus. God is going to expose all. God is going to expose the corruption in Washington. God is going to expose the corruption with the mega churches, with the false prophets, with the preachers, with the hirelings. We were talking earlier about T.D. Jakes. Listen, some of you might get offended, but I've been talking about T.D. Jakes for years. You know why? Because money corrupts. Tyler Perry went into the church and made a donation. I think it was $100,000 or $250,000, maybe even $1 million. $1 million, a cross-dressing man. A perverse man that made his living, made his money by dressing up like a woman. And how many of you love Madea with the videos and everything? I'm telling you the truth. And he gives T.D. Jakes $1 million, and T.D. Jakes allows him to go on the pulpit, and he anoints the bishop and lays hands on him, and T.D. Jakes is going, oh, oh, and he gets the baptism of the Holy Ghost from a guy who cross-dresses. You tell me the perversion that is going on in the house of God. They sell out for the money. And you've got a Sean Puffy Combs doing Illuminati signs and upside down triangles and all this other stuff. And the bishop is going to his party. And now, you know, now there's public declarations. Oh, you know, even if I was guilty, all I have to do is repent and the blood of Jesus will cover me. Yes, brother, you're absolutely right. But then the next sentence is a shame. You know what he said? But I ain't going to repent because I didn't do nothing. I ain't going to plead the blood of Jesus because I'm innocent. Bro, you're on video. You got tape evidence. Listen, when the stuff comes out, the church, they're going to be those that still defend. But listen, we've got to pray for T.D. Jakes. He's a man that has gotten so much money that he has most definitely lost the fear of God. When you lose the fear of God, you don't care anymore. Now other things take precedence over your life. Listen, don't ever lose the fear of God. If you're struggling this morning, you have a specific sin you're struggling with, keep struggling. Hallelujah. Don't throw in the towel. Keep the fight. Try to fight the good fight of faith and stay in the fight. We need to finish strong. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. And if we get sidetracked, we're going to miss the ark. We're going to miss the boat. We're going to miss it. There's grace this morning for you. What does grace mean, Pastor? It means undeserved, unmerited favor of God. That means you don't deserve it, nor does your family. But because God loves you, he gives it to you anyway because of his love. Praise God. Acts 16. Hallelujah. I believe it's 16:31. It says, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. How many people have backslidden children? Maybe we're the only one. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. How many have a backslidden child? How many people are praying for your sons and daughters to come to the cross? You need to highlight that verse in your Bible. You need to pray that verse. Lord, your word says that if I trust in you and I believe in you, that me and my household shall be saved. I'm praying for Junebug. I'm praying for Papo. I'm praying for Rocco. I'm praying for Butch. I'm praying for Priscilla. I'm praying for all my brothers, my sisters. I'm praying them into the kingdom. I hold you to your word because you're a good God. And you love us, oh God, with an everlasting love. And our sins, though they may be red as scarlet, shall be made white as snow. You will remember them no more as far as the east is to the west. How many are praying the word to God? Pray the word back to the Father. I spoke a moment ago about Billy Graham. Billy Graham, I want you to read this. When Billy Graham was driving through a small southern town, he was stopped by a policeman and charged with speeding. Graham admitted his guilt, but was told by the officer that he would have to appear in court. The judge asked, guilty or not guilty? When Graham pleaded guilty, the judge replied, that'll be $10, sir, $1 for every mile you went over the limit. Suddenly, the judge recognized this famous minister. You have violated the law, the judge said. The fine must be paid, but I'm going to pay it for you. He took a $10 bill from his own wallet, attached it to the ticket, and took Graham out and brought him a steak dinner. That, said Billy Graham, is how God treats repentant sinners. Martin Luther. Pay attention because the wording is old kind of English, but it says, this is a quote of his. Although out of pure grace, God does not impute our sins to us, he nonetheless did not want to do this until complete and ample satisfaction of his law and his righteousness had been made. Since this was impossible for us, God ordained for us in our place one who took upon himself all the punishment we deserved. He fulfilled the law for us. He averted the judgment of God from us and appeased God's wrath. Grace, therefore, cost us nothing. But it cost another much to get it for us. Grace was purchased with an incalculable, infinite treasure, the Son of God himself. God wants you and your entire household to be saved. He wants the circle unbroken. He says, you and all thy house. Psalm 119:90. Your faithfulness, Lord, endures to all generations. Lamentations 3, 22 through 26. Though the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, or through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. How many have the Lord as their portion? How many's hope is on the Lord? The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Listen to this. Noah waited 120 years for the Lord to send the flood. For 120 years, he built the ark by day, and then he preached at night and had the same message. It's going to rain. And all the people never seen rain before, and they laughed at him, and they mocked him. And not one single soul ever repented from 120 years of messages. Can you believe that? But it never stopped Noah from being persistent and staying the course no matter what. Some of us preachers, we see our congregation minimizing. We see people not coming and we're ready to quit. You know how many churches pastors quit because they refuse to persevere? It's time to keep praying, men of God. There are three arcs identified in Scripture. I'm going to go through this quickly. Noah's ark, of course, was directed by God to build. This was going to be the ark of salvation, the ark of safety. There was another ark made of bushes and weeds and brush. And this was the ark that carried Moses, little baby Moses, to safety and made him a prince of Egypt and ultimately the deliverer of God's people from Egypt into the wilderness. Praise God, because it was Joshua that took him in. Hallelujah. And then there's a third ark, the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. And this is where Israel were saved from their enemies. As long as they had the ark, God was with them. The very presence of God sustained them. And that means even Obed-Edom, he had the ark for 3 months in his house. And not only was he blessed, but his entire household was blessed. And his grandkids that weren't even born yet, they were blessed. They were ministers of worship in the temple. When you abide in the presence of God, and you abide and dwell in the ark of safety, there will be favor and blessing. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Here's one thing that we should all be asking, which is the most important mission in the life of every believer, is to reach your own family for Jesus Christ. So many people spend so much time doing things for other families, doing things for other people, doing things for other people's children, doing things for other people's moms, for other people. We even do things for the church, but then we go home and forget our own family. Your family is your first mission field. Your wife, your husband, your children, that's your first mission, that you are to be found faithful in that. The Bible says, if a man cannot ruleth his own houseth, he shall not be able to ruleth the churcheth. Understandeth? Thouth? Get it? Hallelujah. If you can't take care of your own house, what makes you think you could be a leader in the church? Ooh, I'm ruffling some feathers today. Praise God. There are leaders, or not in this house, hallelujah, praise God. There are those that walk in leadership and they're not faithful in their stewardship. The Bible says you're robbing God. Ooh, pastor's talking about money. Ooh, Satan, get thee behind me. But the bottom line is, if you're not faithful in your stewardship, how can you stand up here and tell people to be faithful when you're robbing God? Ask God, give me wisdom. God, give me strategy. Lord, forgive me of my wrongdoing. Those times that I've been neglectful, Lord, cover me, wash me, cleanse me, so that this year will be a new year, that you could revive my household, that you would return back to us the favor of God, the provision of God. God is going to give you power to do so. The Bible says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That means if you have a desire to step up and lead righteously and come together into spiritual alignment and spiritual authority and have the blessing and the favor and the fingerprint of God on your household, all you've got to do is ask of God. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. The only prayer that God can't answer is the unprayed prayer. Hallelujah. God wants you to take a step of faith. God called Noah and his entire household to come into the ark. Remember, 120 years on dry land, thousands of miles away from water. But God said, just believe. Just do what I tell you. Come into the ark. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, having been divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I tell you the truth, saints of God, everything we do in this life is based on faith. Everything we do, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Noah had to enter into the ark of safety, the ark of salvation, by way of faith. Everything we do, we have to do by faith. The Bible says the just live by faith. Our salvation comes by way of faith. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself, but it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There are those that would try to boast about what they do for God. Everything we do is a gift. Noah and his household was saved from wrath by the flood. And God, listen, this is important that you understand. God saved Noah and his family from the flood, but God did not prevent the flood. God will take you through the storm, but he ain't going to stop the storm. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes, God, I can't take it anymore. God, stop this problem. Stop this crisis. God says, listen, I'm giving you what you need to get through it. I'm going to equip you to face this trial like a man, not like a beta. You knew that was coming. Hallelujah. But he's going to give you the courage to stand your ground in the midst of the fire. Even if the fire is getting hotter and hotter, there will be one like the Son of God in the fire with you. And not even one little flame will scorch your hair. You won't even come out with the smell of smoke. God will walk through with you. He's not going to abandon you, but he ain't going to turn off the fire. You got to walk through it in faith. Everything we do is in faith. Hallelujah. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. My final point this morning, as I draw to a close, God calls you and I, every believer in this room, to go into all the world. How about this? Go first into your living room. Go first into your daughter's room. Go first into your son's room. Go first into your own household and lead there. And if you happen to have made mistakes along the way, it's okay. There's grace for you. I got to tell you the truth. The most important thing, the most powerful thing a man and a woman can do is repent before God as a husband and wife and then go and hold a family living room meeting. Ask my son. He's right there. We've had plenty of them in my house where I've had to take my big old mope, I got a big mouth. I'd had to go and repent to my whole family and first repent to my wife. Honey, what I did was wrong. What I said was wrong. Please forgive me. I beg and plead you to forgive me for the way I acted. Then I would look at my sons and look at my daughters and repent before them. The best thing you can do, the most teachable lesson you can do, is repent before God and repent before your family and receive grace and mercy and forgiveness and move on with life, Papa. Move on with life, Mama. Move on with life and get it together. Praise God. And give the enemy no place in your house. The doomsday clock is certainly ticking. We are in the days of Noah. We are in the days of Lot. We are in the days of Elijah. How many know what the days of Elijah is? That means he's sending the prophet to go and get the families back in order to return the sons to their fathers and the daughters to their mothers and the parents back to their kids. It's the time to reestablish the family. In order to get through these dark days, your family must be in order. Your family must be in the fear of God. You've got to get your family back together. Then you can go, therefore, into all the world. You see, we don't understand. Time is running out. There are numerous families that are literally walking dead. Your responsibility is to share Jesus with them all. The Bible says when we do that, then the end shall come. 1 Corinthians, listen to this, because the time is coming. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Hallelujah. And we shall be change. This is what I live for every single day. There are days I look up in the sky and I see little cloud formations and I say, God, is today the day? Is that you? Is that the clouds ready to crack open the sky? I mean, I'm looking. I know it's any moment now. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, that means you and me, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, saints of God, 2024 is the year. It could be the year of the rapture, the year where the doors to glory open up, where the church is called up by the sound of the trumpet, and the bride of Christ, no matter what you're doing, cooking, washing dishes, changing diapers, mowing the lawn, whatever, sleeping, snoring, going to the bathroom, whatever you're doing, whoosh. Are you ready? God is going to open up the door. Are you ready? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Or are you now sitting in your chair saying, Pastor, it's already 1:30. When are you going to shut up? I need to get back to the house. We got stuff to do. Can't, you know, we got people coming over tonight. When are you going to shut up? I'm almost there. This is my second closing. God is going to open up the door, but make no mistake, for some, they're going to go through it, but for others, that door is going to close, and they're going to be shut out, and the calamity and the wrath of God, the judgment of God that's poured out on the earth, they're going to have to endure it. Genesis 7:16. So those that entered, male and female, not the binary and all the other stuff, crazy stuff out there. Those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. That means God's finger closed the door of the ark. An entire planet was destroyed by water because of sin and rebellion towards God. We read about God utterly wiping out and destroying the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because of sexual sin and rebellion and witchcraft and wickedness beyond what we can understand. God destroyed them. It's not ironic that that time is coming again. The Bible says God is love, but he is also consuming fires. Think about this. Genesis 6:3. It says, "For my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. If you think about that, how many years did it take Noah to construct the ark? 120 years. And God here says the man's days will be 120. That means God gave an entire lifetime for people to repent. An entire lifetime for people to make the righteous choice. For people to choose the right path. And still, they ignored 120 years. Did God relent from his plan? No. The flood came and wiped out the entire planet. But God shut the door, and an entire world was destroyed on the outside. But on the inside, 8 people were saved from destruction. Noah persevered through all the mocking, through all the laughing, through all the persecution. He's talking to people about giving them the way, the truth, the life. He's sharing with them the way to salvation. And they're mocking him. "You fool, you crazy old man. We've never seen water. Look at this idiot. Look at this moron. Look at this nincompoop. He has lost his mind. He's building an ark on dry land in the middle of nowhere." Until the floods came and took them away. Revelations 3:10. This is God's promise to his people. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. It is high time for us to share Jesus with this fallen world. There's not much time left. A storm is coming. Here's something you can share with your beloved. And you could write this and highlight it in your Bible. It says, "Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." In closing, why such a dark message, Pastor? It's New Year's Eve. Why are you being so gloomy? Why are you being so difficult? I'll tell you why. Because people are dying. Many people are not ready, and death is final. The world is becoming more and more evil. I could spend all day talking about the craziness of our world and the lawmakers, pedophiles, terrorists, race baiters, fake news, exploitative media, all that stuff, music, film, literature, video games, all this stuff. We live in a perverse, evil day. Yes. Knowledge has certainly increased. Every single one of us have computers in our pockets. Everything is getting more evil by the minute, brutally evil. Brother Allen shared 161 fellow believers in Africa were murdered as they were in church worshiping God. Can you imagine if some terrorist came in here with grenades and started throwing grenades in this room? Boom! And your brothers and sisters are in pieces all around you. Can you imagine that? And we think that could never happen here. Do you know how many terrorists we have here? In Orange County, FBI has said there are cell groups in Orange County, terrorists. It could happen anywhere. The church is not exempt, but you have to be in Christ. God said, "I will protect you from that which is coming upon the earth." I'm going to close with this. Donald Gray Barnhouse, whose first wife died, was driving his kids back home from her funeral. One of his kids asked, "Daddy, I don't understand. Where did mommy go? I don't understand what it means that she died." Barnhouse tried to figure out how to explain death to his children when just then a large truck, vroom, passed right by them and cast a dark shadow over their vehicle. He looked at his kids and said, "Kids, would you have rather been hit by that truck or by its shadow?" The kids answered, "The shadow, of course." Barnhouse said, "You're right. The shadow doesn't hurt. It only darkens things for a few seconds. But then, in his wisdom, Barnhouse continued, kids, when you die without Christ, you are hit by that big truck. But when you die in Christ, you're only hit by the shadow. The shadow is all you get. Saints of God, your greatest mission this year is to get your house in order, get your affairs in order, and then go, hallelujah, go like wild people, hallelujah. Go out into every street, into every highway and byway. Go to places where you thought you'd never go. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, where will you send me today? Ask for the anointing of God to be upon your life and share the blood of Jesus, the precious shed blood of Jesus, the payment, our ransom, our exchange. Share Jesus, the boarding pass of Jesus to the ark of salvation, and tell them without the blood, you will be left behind. Without Jesus, there is no entry. Without Jesus, you can't go through the door. It's time to tell the people of this world that there is a storm coming. Are you ready to walk through the door? Glory to God. God bless you, saints of the Most High God.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.